Chapter 16. Cage. Sitting at the table eating lunch with Nero and my mother, I again thought about how lucky I was. The man who raised me wasn't a father. He didn't treat me like family. This was what having a family was supposed to feel like. After a tense conversation with Dr. Tom about what happened, he admitted that there were people at the hospital who knew about my kidnapping. Joe Rucker was a janitor there. The day I disappeared was the last day he showed up for work. Apparently, my disappearance was immediately covered up. The hospital was already struggling to remain open, and the people running the place decided that admitting that they lost a baby would shut the place down. They decided that as the only hospital in the area, more good could be done if they remained open. So, instead of reporting it, they sacrificed me and my mother for the greater good and told her that I had died. My mother said she never believed it. She said she kept asking to see my body, and they said that she couldn't. Eventually, they told her that it had been accidentally cremated and tried to give her money to go away. She didn't take the money, but in the end, it didn't matter. My mother was a nobody from the middle of nowhere. No one was going to believe her over a bunch of people with doctor in front of their name. I get the sense that it was what broke her. Nero told me that she acted crazy for most of his childhood. Her behavior was that of a tortured woman. According to Nero, eventually she stopped her erratic behavior. Nero said he was relieved when it happened, but that was also when her decline began. Each day she became further disconnected from reality until she stopped going to work at all, and they were about to be kicked out of their home. That was when Nero stepped up and took care of both of them. At 13, Nero got his first job. It was a crap job that didn't pay much, but it was enough to keep a roof over their head. And ever since, he has done whatever he has had to make ends meet. I didn't have a job in Snowtip Falls yet, but I was asking around for one. Nero needed help, and I was going to give it to him. Right now, I was doing it by watching over our mother while he did what he had to do during the day. But things were going to change as soon as there was a job opening anywhere in town. I cleared the table when everyone was done eating, washing off the dishes and setting them to dry. I could feel Nero staring at me. "What is it?" I asked, knowing that he often had to be prompted to say what was on his mind. "You think we can go for a walk?" "Of course," I told him, feeling uneasy. I'd only lived here for a few weeks, so everything between us was still new. But this was the first time he had suggested we take a walk. It made me think of the last time I had spoken to Quinn. It took everything I had not to think about Quinn. Most times I failed. The only thing that prevented me from calling him was that I deleted his phone number. I had to. I wasn't strong enough to simply not call him. I needed to put a mountain of obstacles between us to stop me from running back to him. Deleting his number was just the first. Finishing up what I was doing, I considered grabbing a jacket. It was getting warmer, so neither of us did. Exiting the trailer into the cool early spring air, I followed Nero and the two of us entered the woods. "There's a place I used to go when everything would get too much for me as a kid. You want to see it?" "Yeah," I told him, feeling a wave of guilt that I wasn't there to take care of my little brother until now. We walked in silence for almost 45 minutes and stopped when we approached the edge of a valley. The pain in my leg had been off and on since I moved here, but for the last week, it had been off. I was sure it meant that I could remove my cast soon. "This is it," Nero said, looking out at the waterfall below. After a long winter, it was thawing. I tried to imagine how beautiful it looked when it was warm and flowers covered the valley. Snowtip Falls really was a breathtaking place. "It's nice. It's quiet," I told him appreciatively. "Listen, I want to talk to you about you staying here. You have a problem with me staying here?" "No, absolutely not. You being here has been the best thing that's ever happened to me." "Thanks, me too," I said, feeling rewarded for the tough decisions I had made. "It's just that you're here all the time. You want me to find somewhere else to live?" "No, I'm getting this wrong. What I'm trying to ask is, don't you have classes? When you first got here, I thought you were taking a couple of days off. But it's been weeks. Don't you have to go back soon? Oh, yeah. I dropped out.
You dropped out?
Nero asked, startled. Didn't you say this was your last semester and that you just had 3 classes left to graduate?
Yeah. But I need to be here with you. I need to help with Mom.
And I appreciate that, I really do. Nero stared at me, measuring what he would say next. It's just that I thought that school was important. I mean, I never used to think that, but after I met you and Quinn, he trailed off. I wasn't sure what was going on. Nothing Nero had told me about himself had led me to believe that he had valued school. So where was this coming from? I wouldn't want to push him in any way, but it was clear that if he went to college, it would change his life. Nero wasn't the dumb thug I thought he was when we had first met. He was thoughtful, vulnerable, and pretty ingenious. If he was exposed to the outside world, there was no telling who he would become. School is important, I told him, taking the opening. But you only had 3 classes left and you dropped out. If it's so important, and you were so close, why did you leave?
I left for you and Mom.
Huh. Okay. And I appreciate that. It's just that I thought it was really important.
It is really important. It's just that you two are more important.
Nero didn't respond to that. I obviously didn't clear things up for him. And honestly, I could see why. It was a matter of priorities and responsibilities. But at the same time, I didn't realize that I might be setting an example for my younger brother. I was new at this. Why hasn't Quinn come to visit?
What?
I asked, caught off guard, as his question echoed in my mind. I felt a tightening clench around my heart, and waves of pain shot through my healing leg. I said, why hasn't Quinn come to visit?
Oh, it's because, as I began to say it, I realized that I hadn't said it out loud before. It took everything in me not to fall to my knees at the thought.
We broke up.
What?
Nero asked, shocked.
I liked him.
I did too, I admitted, feeling it for the first time.
What happened?
I have responsibilities now.
Wait, you broke up with him because of us?
I mean, I didn't want to say it.
No,
he said, turning to me angrily.
Just no.
What are you talking about, no?
I liked him. He was really good for you, Cage. You two were cute together, he said, distressed.
There's more to being with someone than how you look together.
I know that, I'm not an idiot. But didn't you say that he was the one who figured everything out? And that he was the reason you found us?
He was.
Nero shook his head and shot out his hands as if he had presented his argument on a platter.
And you broke up with him for it?
It was more than that.
Nero looked up and shifted around regretfully.
It was what I said to you two, wasn't it?
You mean when you called us fags?
Nero dropped to a squat and buried his face in his hands. He groaned, humiliated.
No, Nero, it wasn't that. Seriously, it had nothing to do with us breaking up.
Nero looked up at me and dropped to his ass.
Then what?
Why did you break up with him? It couldn't be for us. You couldn't have thrown away everything good in your life because of us, he pleaded.
I sat down next to him. I didn't throw away everything.
You dropped out of school. You broke up with your boyfriend. Didn't you like Quinn?
I thought about it. I loved him.
And because you met us, now you have nothing. You're like a disease that ruins your life.
You and Mom didn't ruin my life.
Really?
It sure doesn't seem that way. This is my fault, isn't it?
I sat next to Nero. It's not your fault. It is my fault. When I told you the things I did about the way things were, I was telling you because I needed help. But I only needed help. I didn't need you to give up everything to be here for us. I just needed a little help. I can't let you give up your life for us.
Nero, it's my choice.
But it's not just you you're affecting. You're making choices for all of us.
I didn't understand what he was saying. How was I making choices for him and Mom?
Listen, you love him, right?
A lump appeared in my throat.
Yeah, I loved him.
Do you still love him?
I couldn't say the words, so I instead shook my head in agreement.
Then fight for him.
That's what I would want someone to do for me.
It's not that simple.
It is that simple, isn't it? You fight for the things you love. But his life is so much larger than anything I can offer him. You saying he expects you to pay for him or something? No, he definitely doesn't need that.
Then what?
It's just that I wanted a simple life here with my family. His life is so much bigger.
So, there's nothing you can do to work it out? There's no way you can meet in the middle?
I don't know.
Did you try before you two broke up?
No, I admitted, embarrassed.
Why not?
Jesus, I don't know. I thought I had to let him go so that he would be happy and I could be here to take care of you all.
You can't do that, Cage. You can't make me and Mama the reason you gave up on the guy you love.
Don't put that on us. Fight for him. I thought I was supposed to be the wiser older brother, I said, trying to be lighthearted. Nero wasn't having it.
Then act like it, bro. Fight for Quinn. Go after the man you love.
Nero was right. Everything he said was right. There was a middle ground between what Quinn needed and what I needed to do. I had been too caught up in the storm of emotions that came with having a new family to see it before now, but there it was. What was I thinking, giving up on Quinn without a fight? Yes, he needed to change the world, and that might take him away, or maybe it wouldn't. Maybe there was a way for him to change everyone's lives from here. Maybe Nero could take care of Mama whenever I needed to visit him. In either case, I wanted Quinn in my life. I wanted to hold him and make love to him. I wanted Quinn to be the one I told my secrets to, and I wanted to be that person for him. I didn't need to play football to be that guy. I didn't need to be special in any way. All I had to do was to keep choosing him no matter what. And what I was realizing was that it didn't have to be a choice between my new family and the love of my life. Oh God, what have I done?
Go after him,
Nero insisted, jolting me to get up. My thoughts swirled. I didn't have his phone number. I had deleted it. I needed to find someone who had it. I needed to get back to my truck. Jogging back down the path, I slowly hobbled into a run. I felt weighed down. My cast was holding me back. Did I even need it anymore? I was sure I didn't. So, kneeling, I clutched the crumbling cast in my hands and tore it off of me. Tossing it aside, I felt like I was on the football field again. I hadn't felt this free in months. My strides were long and strong. Jumping over streams and across ravines, I arrived back in a fraction of the time it had taken to get out there. Sprinting aside, I raced to my pile of stuff on the floor.
Why are you in such a rush?
My mother asked as I searched for my keys and shoes. Mama, I love you, but I made a huge mistake I need to correct.
Did you finally come to your senses about your boyfriend?
I looked back at her, shocked. How did you know?
I'm your mother. A mother knows these things, she said with a smile. Now, go get him.
I smiled, unable to love her more. Hurrying to my truck, I put my foot on the gas, racing to town. My first thought was to go to Dr. Sonia's. I knew she had his number. But the closer I got, the more I realized that that couldn't be the plan. It had been too long. A phone call wouldn't do. I had to see him. I had jerked him around too much already. He had to see that I was serious. He didn't deserve what I did to him. And I didn't deserve him. But deserve him or not, I was going to let him know that I didn't want to live without him. He needed to know that I was going to do whatever I had to do to keep him. My lead foot got me back to campus in half the time it usually took. As I approached his place, my heart pounded with fear. What if what I had to say wasn't enough? What would I do then? Whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. Quinn is my man. He is the love of my life. No matter the consequences, I'm going to fight until my last breath to be with him. Not finding a parking spot, I pulled my truck onto the sidewalk, making my own. I didn't care. What I had to tell him couldn't wait another minute. So racing out of my truck with the engine running and the door open, I approached the front door of his building and lunged for the intercom. The timing of it all couldn't have been worse, or maybe better. Because as I stood there waiting for the intercom to light up in reply, a face appeared on the other side of the glass in the door. It was Tasha. Of all people, why did it have to be her?
Please, open the door,
I know things didn't end well between us, but I have to go see Quinn. Please.
I was half expecting Tasha to turn around and walk off pissed. Instead, she popped open the door. As I stared at her, she smiled. I wasn't sure why until I saw who was standing behind her. It was her best friend, Vi. Vi was smiling too, and I didn't make the connection until I looked down and saw that they were holding hands.
Go get him,
Tasha told me, not needing to say any more.
Thank you, I said, rushing past her and bounding the stairs three at a time. Arriving in front of Quinn's door, I was exhausted and crackling with excitement. I didn't know how I had managed to stay away from him for so long. I knocked on the door trying to calm myself. As soon as I did, it flung open. A very pissed face stared back at me from within.
Lou, where is he?
Gone. He's gone because of you.
What? Where? When?
I asked, pushing past him and seeing that half of the living room furniture was missing.
You heard him. He decided to leave school because of you.
What?
No. When did he go?
An hour ago.
An hour ago?
His family came and packed him up. They're probably flying away right now. I guess you're too late.
No. This can't be happening.
What do you care? You just want him so you can have someone you can hurt again.
I looked at Lou, devastated that he would think that. But he was right. All I had done was hurt Quinn. Quinn was probably better off without me. But maybe better off wasn't always better. Lou, I know you hate me. And you have every right to. I didn't treat Quinn how he deserved to be treated. But he is the most special person in the world to me. And even if I have to spend the rest of my life making it up to him, even if I have to follow him around the world to do it, I will. I love that man. I love him more than I thought possible. So if there's anything you can tell me, anything that will allow me to tell him how much of a fool I've been, I will owe you forever. Please, Lou, please. Lou's gaze was ice cold, until in an instant when his tension melted and tears pooled in his eyes.
Why can't a guy ever say those things about me?
Lou said, overwhelmed.
Okay, let's go.
Where are we going?
To the airport. They might not have left as long ago as I said, but they're taking a private jet, so if we don't get there soon, they'll be gone.
Lou didn't have to say any more. Hurrying back to my truck, we climbed in and raced to the airport. It wasn't the one my team flew out from when we traveled for games. It was the one for private planes. I had never been there and knew nothing about it. Pulling up, I found an open spot next to the entrance of the building. Sprinting out, I entered the terminal and looked around. The place was much smaller than I ever imagined. I could see everyone in the open space in one sweep. Taking a second scan to be sure, Quinn wasn't there.
There,
Lou said, pointing to a door marked exit. He didn't have to say it anymore. Running to it, someone yelled, "Hey!" Exiting the terminal, I stepped onto the tarmac. Still, there was no Quinn. Had they gone? Was I too late? No. There was only one place he could be. It was on a plane circling the tarmac and headed to the runway. I ran after it.
Quinn, wait, stop, don't go. I have to talk to you,
I yelled. It was no use. I could barely hear myself over the roar of the engine. All I could do was sprint towards the runway and hope he saw me. Racing as if for a touchdown, I left everything in my way and spun around the things I couldn't. I was 200 feet away as the plane raced past me. I couldn't stop it. But as it crossed in front of me, I saw a familiar face in one of the windows. It was Quinn. Our eyes met. It wasn't enough, though. Nothing I had done had been enough. With the force of a rocket, the plane approached the end of the runway and took off. He was flying away. Quinn was gone. I had waited too long. It was over. Watching his plane disappear into the air, I slowed down, giving up. The second I did, I was taken down by a linebacker. Maybe he wasn't that big. Maybe it was just that I hadn't seen the hit coming. Whatever it was, my face was now pressed against the ground. A man was kneeling on my back. All hope was lost.
Do you realize how illegal it is to run into a tarmac? It's a federal crime. You're going to jail for a long time.
A large, angry, out-of-breath man yelled into my ear.
If I wasn't going to be with Quinn, what did it matter if I was in jail? I was realizing that without Quinn, nothing mattered. He was gone, and it had all been my fault. I didn't care what happened to me now because I had let the best thing in my life slip away. From here on out, I deserved everything I got. When another man joined us, they grabbed my arms and pulled me to my feet. I didn't resist. I was going to let them do their job. My fight was gone. My will to go on was gone. Until I heard something I didn't expect. The plane that had taken off with Quinn in it was circling and headed back down. "Wait, look," I told the guys, turning their attention to the landing plane. The three of us watched it. As soon as it touched down and came to a stop, the door opened. Someone raced out. It was Quinn Toro, the love of my life, and he was running towards me. Two freight trains couldn't keep me from him after that. Pulling from my captors and running to Quinn, I didn't stop until I was right in front of him. He leapt into my arms.
"You're here. I didn't want to leave without saying goodbye," Quinn declared.
"Why are you going? Please don't go."
"Why shouldn't I? I have nothing to stay for."
"What are you talking about? You have Lou in school, but more than that, you have me. I love you, Quinn. I was crazy not to do everything I could to be with you."
"But you were right, Cage. We both have responsibilities. We can't deny that."
"No, we can't. But I'm willing to do whatever I have to have you in my life. I'll go wherever you need me to go and do whatever you need me to do. All I ask from you is for you to love me."
"I would never want to take you from your family, Cage. I can't do that to you."
"But I want you to be my family. You're just as important to me as Nero and my mom are. It's because of you that I have them. I love you, Quinn Toro. I want to love you for the rest of my life. Please be with me," I said with a smile.
"I don't know, Cage. I want to. I want to more than anything in the world, but..."
"Quinn, what are you doing?" a voice said from behind him. We turned to see the most James Bond-looking guy I had ever seen in my life. He was standing with a very attractive couple. They could only be Quinn's parents. "The man's telling you he loves you and that he's willing to figure things out. Quinn, you have to know when you've won."
"But what about my responsibilities? You said I have to change the world."
"You told our son that he has to change the world?" the light-haired guy said to James Bond, shocked. "I say a lot of things, Quinn. You should know that about me by now. And I might not always be right. But what I'm sure about is that when you find someone who you love and who loves you enough to risk being run over by a plane to be with you, you figure it out. Quinn, you're a smart guy. Figure out a way." I turned to Quinn, who looked back at me. "What do you say, Quinn? You want to figure out a way?" His smile lit up my heart.
"Yes, Cage. We'll figure out a way. I love you. I want to be with you no matter what it takes."
That was when I leaned in and kissed him. His lips never tasted sweeter. Lost in the wonder of his touch, I knew that Quinn and I were about to live the rest of our lives happily ever after.